Please turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Please turn to chapter 2, and we want to read verse 10 to introduce our lesson. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. The Lord said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We're especially concerned with the final words found in this particular verse. According to what the Lord said to the church in the city of Smyrna, God's people must be faithful unto death in order to receive a crown of life. Now keep in mind that in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, the Lord sent a message to each of the congregations in the area known as Asia. And these particular words are from the message that the Lord sent to the church in Smyrna. The Lord informed this congregation that it was going to face tribulation. It was already facing tribulation, and the Lord was aware of it. But he said, "You're going to face some additional tribulation." But the Lord encouraged this congregation to remain faithful, and he said if it would, then the members would receive a crown of life. Much of the New Testament is written for the purpose of helping Christians accomplish that goal, that is, to remain faithful. And we're especially concerned this evening for something that's written in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was especially designed to help Christians be faithful unto death. It was also written to people who were undergoing tribulation. The writer of the book of Hebrews understood that the members of the church known as the Hebrews, we believe that was a congregation near Jerusalem. Some of the details we might like to know more of, but we believe that this was written to Christians in or around the area of Jerusalem. But these people were undergoing tribulation, and that tribulation was taking a toll on some of these early Christians, and the book of Hebrews was written for the purpose of encouraging them to remain faithful unto death. They were assured that if they would do so, they would receive the crown of life that the Lord also mentioned in Revelation 2 and verse 10. But let's look at the book of Hebrews for a little while. And we want to point out in a general way that Hebrews contains a number of admonitions given to God's people that involve faith. Let's look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's read verses 11 and 12. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Well, we must follow the example of those who received God's promises through faith and patience. Notice how faith is involved in receiving the benefits of God's promises. I seem to recall that the Lord told the church in Smyrna to be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That same principle is addressed throughout the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This verse teaches us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The very next verse, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." This passage contains a very important admonition. We're to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And go down to verse 35 of chapter 10. We want to read through the end of the chapter. And notice the emphasis is placed on living by faith. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice how God's people are to live by faith. One of these days, I just might take the time to see how many times faith and patience are mentioned together. We just read at least two passages where those two great subjects are linked together. Maybe the key to being patient is increasing our faith. The other day I was reading from the Gospel of Luke where Jesus talked to the disciples about their responsibility to forgive one another. And after the Lord finished, the disciples responded by saying, "Increase our faith." They knew that they needed some help in that regard. Well, that's a good plea to make. Lord, increase our faith. Faith is linked to so many very important subjects. We just mentioned the fact that patience and faith are mentioned sometimes together. Well, the 11th chapter of Hebrews contains a detailed study of faith. It tells us about the faith that was demonstrated by a number of great men and women that we read about in the Old Testament. Now, this morning we based our lesson on Hebrews 11 and verse 7, and we examined five lessons from Noah's faith. Noah is just one of the great Old Testament characters mentioned in Hebrews 11. This evening, we want to consider several fundamental principles that relate to faith that are dealt with in the book of Hebrews. Now, when the Lord said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful," you know what that word "faithful" actually means? It means full of faith. But it carries with it the idea of being dependable, being reliable, being trustworthy. Now, the Bible also mentions, and we've already read one verse that shows this to be the case, God is described as being faithful. He's certainly dependable. He's trustworthy. Well, he wants his children to be faithful as well. It's imperative that we be faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. We just looked at all of these admonitions in the book of Hebrews that have to do with being faithful. Well, if faithfulness is such an important matter, and it is, we need to be aware of some fundamental principles that relate to faith. I'm very much aware of the fact that you've already heard these things taught, but you know, I'm reminded time and time again of what Peter said in his letter. Basically, he said concerning the Christian graces in 2 Peter Chapter 1, "I know that you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them again." In other words, there are certain things that are just so important that we need to be reminded of them on a regular basis. I don't know about you, but my memory doesn't work as well as it used to. I think that's a problem that we all suffer from. Well, we need to be reminded of these very important principles. Well, if being faithful is such an important matter, and it is, we need to be aware of some fundamental principles that relate to faith. Let's notice how chapter 11 and verse 1 begins. This is in the book of Hebrews. In the opening verse of chapter 11, we have supplied for us a great description of faith. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now you'll notice that I mentioned that this is a great description of faith. to give a general definition of faith would go like this. Faith may very well be defined as believing what God tells us in the Bible and following His instructions so that we can receive His promises. Now, that's a good working general definition of faith. Believing what God tells us in the Bible and following His instructions so that we can receive His promises. Now, that's the classic definition of faith. But as Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, begins, it provides us with a great description of faith. Notice that faith is described as the substance. That word substance may also be translated assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, and that word evidence may be translated conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, that's a great description of faith. And if we're concerned about being faithful, which certainly we are, we need to know what faith is. And faith is described in that particular way. Well, we all understand from Romans 10 and verse 17 that our faith is to be based on the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I wonder if perhaps that's why there's such a lack of faith today. If people don't come in contact with the Word of God, how can they possibly have any faith? I never cease to be amazed at some of the statements that are made about the Bible. And I've learned through experience that when someone makes a derogatory comment about the Bible, that person needs to be challenged to identify the verse under consideration. Because just as sure as I'm standing here, at least 9 out of 10 times, they can't do it. One particular passage might be mocked or ridiculed. And if the person doing the mocking and the ridiculing is asked to reveal where the scripture is found, most of the time they can't do it. I've learned through experience that people who make derogatory remarks about the Bible are just repeating what they've heard from someone else. Well, I was taught, and I'm glad that I was when I was in school, to do some thinking for myself. Not to take anyone's word for anything when it comes to the scriptures, but to search out the scriptures and to determine if things are right based on what God has revealed in His word. Well, most of the time people make derogatory comments about the Bible and they're just repeating something that they've heard from somebody else. Well, our faith is based on the Word of God. Romans 10:17 still says, as I quoted just a moment ago, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, having said that, with our faith based on God's Word, we can understand things from the past that we have not seen. And the book of Hebrews shows this to be the case. Look at verse 3 of chapter 11. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, our faith is based on Scripture. And the Scriptures say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the details of the creation are supplied for us in Genesis chapter 1. There were 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. Well, all of those details concerning the creation are revealed in Genesis chapter 1. Well, with our faith based on Scripture, we can understand things from the past that we have not seen. Now, I certainly was not present at the creation, and you were not either. How do we know that the Bible record is accurate? How do we know that God created everything in 6 days? Well, the scriptures are dependable. They are the inspired word of God. And when the Bible says that God created everything in 6 days, we believe that, although we were not present to see what took place. Just yesterday, I was asked to identify the scripture that says, "Let there be light." I said, it's in the first few verses of Genesis chapter 1. I said, you won't go very far into Genesis chapter 1, the entire Bible, until you'll find that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, I had just put up a fixture, a light fixture, and when I finished, I turned on the light, and fortunately, it came on and it worked, and the person responded by saying, "Let there be light." And I was asked to identify in the Bible where that verse is found. Well, I hope that maybe the person who asked me the question or made the comment will read Genesis chapter 1. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I think you see the point. What is faith? It's described as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. With our faith based on the Word of God, we can understand things from the past that we have not seen. You know, sometimes over the last several years, when I have seen the way that some monuments and statues in our country have been treated, I'm reminded of how when people are ignorant of history, they often repeat its mistakes. And I just have to admit, this thought has run through my mind many times. When I see monuments from the Civil War torn down and desecrated, I thought, if our country is not mindful of that horrible time in our history, we're bound to repeat it. And I'm concerned that we're headed in that direction. I hope not. But you see, we need to understand things from the past. By the way, how do we know that George Washington ever lived? The father of our country, that's what he's been called for years. Well, I never saw him. You didn't either. But we have the historical record of his life. Just like we had the historical record of what happened at the creation. Moses wrote it down, and we're able to read it, and we can understand things from the past that we have not seen. Faith enables us to do that because our faith is based on Scripture. But I want you to notice that faith allows us to look in a different direction. With our faith based on Scripture, we can understand things in the future that we have not seen. Let's notice how this is demonstrated by some of the great patriarchs in Hebrews chapter 11. Go down to verse 13. "But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." These great Bible characters who all died in faith were looking for something. God had promised them a city. And they spent their lives looking for that city. Why did they do that? Because God said it, they believed it, they knew it was going to happen. Well, faith, when it's based on Scripture, will enable us to know things in the future that we have not seen. That's illustrated by some of the great patriarchs. Well, let's look at what Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3. He talked about some things that we've never seen. He talked about things that will occur in the future. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Our Lord talked about his return. And he said that when he comes back, he's going to take his followers to his Father's house, where there are many mansions. And the Lord has gone there to prepare that wonderful place. Have you ever seen the Father's house? No, I haven't either. How do we know that the Father's house exists? Because the Bible says so. How do we know that Jesus is coming back? Because the Bible says so. How do we know that the Lord is going to take his faithful followers to that wonderful place called heaven? It's because the Bible says so. I've never seen heaven. You haven't either. But we believe with all of our hearts that it exists. Why? Because our faith is based on the Word of God. So faith is based on Scripture. And with our faith based on Scripture, we can understand things from the past that we have not seen. We can also understand things that will occur in the future that we haven't seen. Well, if we're going to be faithful, we need to be mindful of these principles that relate to faith. We need to know what it is, and we need to understand that it has a profound effect upon our understanding. With our faith based on Scripture, we can look backward in time and know certain things that we've never seen, but we can also look forward in time and know about some things that no one's ever seen except the Lord. Well, let's look at another fundamental principle revealed in Hebrews 11. And as we do so, let's consider what's written in verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 contains this statement: "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This verse shows us that faith is essential. How do we know that faith is essential? It's because this verse says that without it we cannot please God. Now that's stating it in a negative way, but the positive point to learn from that is, through faith, we can please God. But you know, as we look at what the Bible says about faith in a general way, we see that it's possible to possess different degrees of faith. Consider what's written in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. This verse shows us that it's possible to have no faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 40. Now the Lord asked this question of the disciples after he had calmed the great storm that arose on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, they were scared to death. They thought that their lives were about to be lost, and they asked Jesus if he cared. Well, he did care. But after he calmed the storm, he asked a couple of questions. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, Jesus asked that question of the disciples. These are men who had left their livelihoods and their families in order to follow Christ. Did they have faith? Well, yes. But here, the way that they reacted to what happened on that occasion, Jesus said, "How is it that you have no faith?" It's possible to have no faith. That's one degree of faith. Well, let's notice that the Bible mentions little faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Matthew 6 and verse 30. Now, in this portion of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about being filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. And in dealing with that issue, he said, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow was cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" We've already pointed out that it's possible to have no faith. Here Jesus talked about having little faith. Let's look at James 2 and read verse 17. This verse reveals another degree of faith. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Here the Bible talks about dead faith. Of course, that kind of faith is not pleasing unto God. But we're pointing out from the Scriptures that there are different degrees of faith. It's possible to have no faith. It's possible to have little faith. It's possible to have a dead faith. Well, that leaves one more. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 and read verse 10. It's possible to have great faith. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. Now we need to consider the backgrounds of two people who had great faith. Jesus made this statement in reference to a centurion, an officer in the Roman army. He would have been a Gentile. His servant was ill. The Lord healed him. Let's notice what Jesus said. Matthew 8 and verse 10 says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." That's quite a statement to be made about a man who was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He would have been a Gentile. Look also at Matthew chapter 15. Let's read verse 28. Matthew 15 and verse 28. Now this has reference to a Canaanite woman. Jesus healed her daughter. I've always thought it was interesting to look at the conversation that the Lord had with this woman. But she was determined to have her daughter healed. Jesus was impressed by this woman. Notice what he said. This is Matthew 15 and verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." This was a woman of Canaan. Not from Israel, but from Canaan. She would not have been a Jew. Jesus commended her for having great faith. Well, these verses indicate to us that it's possible to have different degrees of faith. Of course, we're concerned about pleasing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we can please God. God wants us to have great faith. Now, the faith that pleases God includes believing that He is. Let's go back and look at the verse again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is." It's imperative that we believe that God exists. And we don't have to believe that God exists because of what's often called blind faith. We have plenty of evidence available to us to convince us and assure us that there is a God in heaven. But faith that pleases God also includes believing that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. Once again, the verse says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That includes obeying God's will. That point is made very clear once again in James chapter 2. Earlier we read verse 17. Let's read a few other verses. James chapter 2, and let's continue at verse 18. Now in this part of his letter, James is talking about the relationship that exists between faith and works. We've already shown from verse 17 that faith that's not backed up by works of obedience is dead. It's vain. It serves no good purpose. Verse 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Well, the faith that pleases God, and that's what we're concerned about, believes that he is. But the faith that pleases God also believes that God will reward those who diligently seek him. The faith that pleases God includes obeying his will. I think all of these verses indicate to us that faith is absolutely essential. Not just any faith, but the kind of faith that God describes in his word that pleases him. You know, I think God ought to know more about that than anybody else. He knows what pleases him, and he shows us very clearly in his word that great faith, and he's described for us, pleases him. But there's another sense in which we see that faith is essential. Go back to Hebrews 11 and let's look at verse 2. Faith will enable us to obtain a good report. Verse 2 says, "For by it," that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." Now that's referring to the great Bible characters from the Old Testament. And we're able to read about many of them. This morning we studied about Noah. Through faith, the ancient ones obtained a good report. That applies to us. We understand that faith is absolutely essential in that it will enable us to obtain a good report. That has reference to receiving that crown of life that Jesus mentioned in Revelation 2 and verse 10. Well, these are some important principles that relate to faith. We understand that it's essential that we be faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. That being the case, we know what faith is. We know that faith is based on Scripture. We understand that there are different levels or different degrees of faith, but we know what kind pleases God. Well, that's the type of faith that we need to strive to have. We also understand that faith is essential. It will enable us to obtain a good report. I love to study about these great men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And we can receive a tremendous amount of encouragement as a result of studying about them. Take the time to go back through the Old Testament, read about these Bible characters, and see how they faced some difficult circumstances, yet God blessed them abundantly. But while we go back to the Old Testament and examine the faith of these great Old Testament characters, let's remember these fundamental principles that relate to faith. We know what faith is, and we understand that faith is absolutely essential to please God.